I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well, that wasn't the least bit smooth, Daryl, but hi, good to have you with us anyway.
That's all right. Kick saving a beauty, Jeff.
How are you,
hi,
man?
Hi, Daryl.
I'm doing well.
Before we get into who's going to be picking players on this team, we were talking about Odell here, and I've kind of changed my stance, and I want your thoughts on what you would do with him. My thought is this: the productivity the last 2 years in comparison to what he did the first three when he became a Hall of Fame type of talent, it's not been there. And some of that's on him. Some of it's on the Browns. I think this year with the Browns and maybe the Giants the previous year, my thought was new management, sit him down. Hey, look, we'd love to have you here. We want you here. We want to be a big part of it. It didn't work with you not coming in. We need to all be on board. You want to show up for all the voluntary stuff or not? You want to be moved, whatever. And if he's all in, wonderful, let's go. And if he's not all in, maybe you look to move him, Daryl. But that's not what I want to do. But I want him all in because I want that guy who was a stud his first 3 years. What would you do with Odell?
I mean, that's exactly what I would do. I'd basically have a come to Jesus meeting with him and his representation, and just basically say, listen, you know, we want you here. We need you here. We want the Hall of Fame caliber player that you were. We want that type of production. We want the shenanigans to stop. We'd like the focus to be on football and winning, because that's what we're going to be about here at the Cleveland Browns, and let's go do this thing. And if you're not on board with that, if you're more interested in making yourself the center of attention, and you're more interested in your statistics and you're more interested in other things other than winning, I know you say you want to win, but your actions sometimes speak a different language, then, you know, we can accommodate you and we can move on. But I do think that they should really have that type of a sit down once they get their new general manager in place with him, because if he's not going to be all in, No time better to move him than when the new league year starts.
Yeah, we're on the same page then, yeah. Daryl.
Daryl, what about his friendship with Jarvis Landry and supposedly this, you know, buddy, and yet he may be kicking it away?
Well, I mean, listen, we're, you know, not in the business of, running a frat house here. We're in the business of winning football games. So Jarvis Landry also understands that it's a business. Now, Jarvis Landry has been everything that the Browns were hoping to get from the Miami Dolphins when they made that trade a couple of years ago. He's made the Pro Bowl both years that he's been with the Browns. From my perspective, based on my observations, based on my conversations with Jarvis, based on conversations I've had with other people in the organization about Jarvis, he is about winning. He is the type of player that you want in your locker room. He is the type of leader that you're looking for. I would say he's more so the type of player than Odell Beckham Jr. just because of the intangibles that he brings. I don't think Odell's a leader. I don't think Odell has that, you know, type of personality. He's a compelling personality. He's certainly a lightning rod for attention as well as criticism. Some of the criticism's fair. Some of the criticism he brings on himself, just look at his actions over the last week. But I think Jarvis is more so a leader than Odell Beckham Jr. is. And so if you were to ask me to pick between the two players, I would probably pick Jarvis over Odell, just because, again, some of those intangibles that I've observed from Landry these last couple of years. And he really does. I mean, you know, the losing pains him. He's frustrated by it. He really cares. And I'm not saying that Odell doesn't, but it's a different expression. It's just a different type of feel that I get from Jarvis than Odell, and that's why if I had to pick between the two, I keep Jarvis.
Daryl Ryder is joining us, our Browns beat reporter. The one thing from Odell's standpoint, Daryl, that maybe his representation needs to point out to him, he's been in the league for 6 years. The first three were stunning, and the next three have been one injury riddled the fourth year, and then the last two have been okay. They've been good, but they've not been. You know, there've been no great seasons there. He's averaged 1,000 yards. Well, 25 wide receivers had 1,000 yards last year. So, I mean, a lot of guys have done what Odell did the last 2 years. And if he wants to be that guy again, he has to obviously do something different because what he's done the last couple of years hasn't worked.
Yeah, and, you know, and Odell talked about this toward the end of the year when his injury had come up, obviously all the controversy about him. Telling teams to come get him and whatnot, and whether or not he wanted to be with the Browns in 2020 and, you know, going forward and whatnot. And, you know, he acknowledged, Jeff, that, hey, I'm probably going to get 1,000 yards, but for me, 1,000 yards is a bad year. Mm-hmm. You know, that's where the meter begins for me. I should get 1,000 yards, he feels like he is a 1,500 yard receiver, and he is, no question about it, and part of that last year was he was not used correctly. Freddie Kitchens, obviously, we've had plenty of conversations about his deficiencies and shortcomings running the football team and running that offense, and that's obviously why he's no longer here, and Kevin Stefanski is now taken over as the head coach.
How much power will the new GM have here as selecting of the roster and all that?
Great question, and you know, how much power should the new GM have as well? You know, I said it with the morning show. I have tremendous concerns about this organization moving forward. And none of it has to do with Kevin Stefanski as the head coach. It has to do with the personnel department. Because they're about to blow out the most competent personnel department that they've had in the expansion era. I could argue in the last three decades. You know, all John Dorsey did was draft Pro Bowlers in the first rounds of the draft with Kansas City and the Browns. You know, I don't know that I don't know that you're getting that in Andrew Berry. I'm sorry. I don't know if you're getting that in Monty Ossenfort or Peyton from the Minnesota Vikings if he ultimately does an interview over the weekend or whatnot. So, you know, I was comfortable with the personnel department and player acquisition. And I'm not saying John Dorsey was perfect. He certainly made his mistakes. No general manager is perfect. But to flip over the roster in as rapid fashion that he did and to infuse as much talent as he did in such a short amount of time, I mean, that's not easy to do. Now, granted, he did have the assets. He had the salary cap space. He had a lot of draft picks that he got to, you know, play with and whatnot to make some of the trades and make the picks that he did. But I do think that they will take a significant step back in the player acquisition department if Alonzo Highsmith and Elliott Wolf do not continue on in their present roles.
Jeff and I just made the same face at the same time.
We did. We looked at it. We didn't even look at each other. We happened to look up, and we both had the ooh face on. Daryl, the one thing about what you just said, and this I think is tough. You're hoping, and Kevin Stefanski has a fine resume, and everybody thinks highly of him, and that's really good. And we're all behind the guy because who doesn't want the Browns to win? But the question remains: can he be a head coach in the NFL? And then it sounds like whoever they're going to hire, the question as a general manager. The question is going to be, can he be the voice to pick talent in the NFL? So you've got two huge questions there, which you didn't have before. You had one huge question before, could Freddie Kitchens coach in the NFL? And the answer, short term anyway, turned out to be no. But you knew John Dorsey could pick talent. It's a little concerning to me that you're going to have two people at the helm of this thing who've not done the job that they've been hired to do when you're hoping that your team is ready to go to the playoffs.
Yep. No, but you knew it was only a matter of time that he'd be gone.
Freddie?
Dorsey.
Well, once Freddie was gone,
not necessarily. I didn't think it was going to be after 2 years when they hired him, that's for sure.
No, none of us did.
How big of a concern is that, Daryl, that you've got two guys who are running the thing eventually here who probably have never done that job before?
Yeah, well, it's a tremendous concern. Like I said, I think that they're going to suffer a significant drop-off in the talent acquisition side of the building if more changes are made. You know, I like Andrew Berry personally. I know that he is very well respected and highly regarded in the scouting and player personnel community. There's no question about that. The positive here is that he has gone through the Jimmy Haslam experience. He knows how miserable it is, and if he's willing to come back and take the job, I mean, God bless him, you know. But the guy's 32 years old, and he'd be one of the, if not the youngest executive, I think, head football executive, rather, you know, in the league. So,
and Stefanski's only 37.
Yeah, I know. You know, Monty Ossenfort, he's been with the Patriots for something like 14, 15 years or so.
He's 41.
He's held a lot of he's had a lot of positions there. He's worked his way up the ladder, just like Barry has. But let's be honest about it. Barry was here for the Sashi Brown era, and look at those players that were brought in. Ossenfort comes from the New England Patriots, where he started off as a personal assistant and an area scout, and then a national scout and assistant director of college scouting. Now he's the director of college scouting. So which organization picks better players? Let's think about this for a second. So I just, this is going to be very interesting. I believe it's going to be Andrew Berry's job to lose. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how this thing moves forward. Again, especially if more people leave this front office.
Daryl Ryder joining us. Daryl, last thing. We go through a whole coaching search. Now we're looking for a general manager here. And I think the only thing that I know more about Paul DePodesta and what he's really doing here is that he might be the last voice in Jimmy Haslam's ear. Do we really know anything more about Paul other than that Jimmy now seems to be listening?
Yeah, it's been stressed to me because obviously I've expressed my frustrations as well as concerns with DePodesta's influence in this organization and the fact that he's bending the owner's ear from afar the way he does. But it's been stressed to me that he is staying in his lane. And he talked about it on Tuesday when we spoke with him. And I thought he came off very well. In fact, I've said this. I thought the Browns did themselves a tremendous disservice by not putting him out there earlier, especially January 2nd after Jimmy Haslam talked. I think they could have really helped themselves out if DePodesta had talked, considering the amount of influence he is able to exert. But it's been stressed. He's staying in his lane that, you know, he's – the guy, he's the process guy, he's the data guy, he's the thinker guy, and whatnot, but he's not out there picking the players.
But if you need a shortstop, he's the guy you'd want.
he could find you one,
right? Yeah. Well, actually,
maybe.
I don't know. The Indians could probably use Indians do pretty well in the front office though. So
yeah, that's true.
They just need somebody to win the Powerball and drop a donation over at 2401 Ontario for them to spend. So that's pretty much the new thing, I guess, that we learned about Paul DePodesta and his role is that, you know, he's not looking to flex his muscle when it comes to the talent the talent selection of the team, but he certainly has tremendous influence when you talk about the processes of the talent evaluation.
Daryl, thank you very much.
You got it, guys. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.